What?
I didn't hear it all.
I'm getting copies made for you of the specs and the.
I'm making a motion to approve the minutes as read.
A second.
Been a motion and a second to approve the minutes. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Get the roll call.
Minutes have been approved. Oh, yes, let's take a roll call.
All right. District one, Counselor Larry Liddington.
Here.
District two, Counselor Tom Sells. Is absent. District three, Counselor Dave Furby.
Here.
District four, Counselor Lisa Friend.
Here.
At large, Counselor Missy Woods.
Here.
At this time, I want to present the Community Excellence Award, as I do every month. I try to every month. This month, I'm going to present the Community Safety Advocate of the Month. The City of Winchester recognizes the Winchester City Police Department as the February 2016 Community Safety Advocate of the Month Award recipient. The city has a vision of Winchester as a community of thriving business, successful schools and neighborhoods where fellowship can grow without concern for safety. The destructive disease of drug abuse can cripple the community and rob the city of her potential. The men of the Winchester City Police Department have shown exemplary dedication and honor in their efforts to heal our community and cleanse our city streets. We applaud their efforts and express our gratitude with this Community Safety Advocate of the Month Award. Next up on the agenda is Judge Fry, Melissa Bruton on Odyssey Reporting Program.
All right, so I do not see the judge. You'll come up here. It's the proper place to be.
Yep.
All right. I know the judge had some handouts prepared, but I do not see him yet, so I will present on both of our halves, and this will be short and sweet that way because you don't have handouts. What Judge Fry and I would like to propose is, in years past, the court has used a software program called Keystone, and the Keystone software is a DOS-based program that we feel is a little bit outdated, that we are having a little bit of issues working with and so forth. Judge Fry attended a conference a few months ago. Oh, and Judge Fry is walking in the door. Judge Fry attended a conference and he walked in the door. So he attended a conference that described the Insight software, which is the software that the police department already uses for their ticketing purposes. And this new court proposal would allow us to streamline some of our time. It would eliminate the act of the clerk having to take pull tickets off of the existing police software and reload it once again into the software that we're using. So I know Judge Fry had a few handouts for us. I can let you take off.
No. Thank you.
All right, so yes, as Melissa was saying, that the benefits of the new system would allow us to streamline inputting our data from when the Sheriff's Department or other law enforcement agencies issue the tickets to when we process them in our court, making that turnover faster and being able to get information to the people who ask me questions a lot quicker than we have normally with the Keystone system we currently have. Also, under Keystone, we are currently under a service agreement for which the City of Winchester pays Keystone a certain amount per year. Now, under the Odyssey program, it's already included in our court costs that we assign with each of our cases. So essentially, we transition to Odyssey. We're taking advantage of a free service that's already being provided for by the state of Indiana. So here, the state, the Odyssey program is also being supervised by the Supreme Court of Indiana, and it is where the state of Indiana is pushing a lot of the other court systems to go to anyway. Over the next, there are already timetables up that certain counties will be implementing Odyssey over the next couple of years to include that basically to where half of the state of Indiana will be on the Odyssey system by the end of 2017. So we jump on board with this. We are on where the state of Indiana is pushing all of its resources anyway. Get on board with that, take advantage of their tech support team, and we'll be right there to take advantage of the free benefits that the state of Indiana is providing and doing that and saving the city of Winchester money in the process. Are there any questions?
What were we paying the old ones, the Keystone? Do you know, Vicki, how much was it?
$2,000 a year.
A year?
For maintenance, just for software.
And this one's free?
Yes. This one's free.
Free for me, I'll
And less time spent doing raw data entries, which will free me up to...
So make it a lot easier on it.
Yes.
A lot easier.
Yes.
And most cities have already been using it.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So what would you stay on the old agreement till the end of June or what? Whenever
correct, until June of this year when our service agreement ends, and then we'll be transitioning onto the Odyssey program between now and then.
And I think that lapse time would give us a few months that we could start implementing current tickets on into the new system, but the service agreement would still be there while we're cleaning up the old records. If we were able to move on to that quickly, we'd have a couple of months of transition time, which would be nice, security blanket.
So what do you need from us?
Well, I think you just have to, we brought this in front of you just for transparency.
We don't need to vote on it or not.
I'd like to have a motion.
We actually do have some paperwork just from Odyssey that just says that the city council is aware that we have a yes and we just need a signature from a city council member.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't pay for the bill. You never did.
Yeah. Well, it is free.
That's still.
I'll make a motion we adopt that.
Second.
The Odyssey program has been motioned and seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
It's passed. And so I think we just need the council president's signature.
Yes.
Who is under the weather this evening.
Okay, sure. So I can get with later and we will get it signed.
All right.
Thank you.
No? Okay, next up is Reach All Randolph County. Bob McCoy.
I'll give you guys some information there on one more item to add. I provided everybody kind of an update what's going on with Reach All Randolph County. Sean just was invited to our board recently. This is actually an invoice for a billboard. The city of Union City has already paid for a quarter. The commissioners agreed to half, and what I'd like the city of Winchester to do is pay for a quarter, which is $857.50. We currently have one on the east side of town. The other one is actually going up outside of Union City. It's going to be the same message, which is the casket. The message will rotate every quarter. So you'll see a new message coming up on the one down there on Omega. And I will mention Omega paid $400 on that billboard, a donation there. And we also had donations that whole billboard was paid for through donations. So what we're doing on this one is to try to get another one paid for. So my request is for $857.50 for that billboard. Something else I want to touch on. In 2013, we had 9 deaths due to drugs, alcohol. In 14, we had 11. In 15, we had 21. So this just continues to grow. A lot of it related to heroin. Something that really hit hard at our meeting, and I think Sean was, I think you were there when it was brought up. the Narcan, which has got Narcan to everybody, all the birdseed in the community. The statement was made at the meeting, if it wasn't for Narcan, we would have buried 3 people last week. So, you know, for anybody that thinks Narcan's not an important tool, I think that says it all right there, especially if you're talking about a loved one. Our board's got about 40 members from all walks of life, government, healthcare, business. We're in contact with the state, Greg Beimer, Jeff Ratz, as well as John Hill, the co-chair of the drug task force for the governor. We've got a family support meeting at 6:30 on Tuesdays, a peer support group starting up on Thursdays at 6 at the Freedom Left Church. We have an office through Unchained Praises at the Community Corrections Building that's on Wednesdays and Thursdays from 10 to 2. You know, all these are tools to help us with this problem. On 4/20, there'll be a prayer initiative. I give you guys information on that, and you'll start hearing more about that as well. On 4/19, we're going to have another symposium, which is going to be titled Addiction, What Every Family Should Know, and it's going to be more in your face, showing parents what drugs look like, explaining, you know, what to do if you find them, things like that. We just went through some what they call recovery works training through the state on Friday at our meeting. Kind of give us an idea of what the state has to offer in financial help for those that have been arrested for drug offenses for treatment. It's not a lot of money, but it's going to be a help to people, especially if they don't have any money. And that's really all I've got for you. Like I said, I give you kind of a packet. And I want to kind of breeze through this real quick because I want to allow Mr. Randy Davis and Rick Koop to go over what they got to talk about because it's really important and probably a little more lengthy.
Are you asking for this tonight?
Yes.
I was under the impression that I read in the paper that they already gave it to him.
That was a misprint.
Okay.
Yes, it did. You can probably read it in your packet. It was a misprint.
Union City.
No, he didn't do it.
No.
Union City donated.
But it said Winchester.
It did.
Right. But the typo was...
Yeah, it was a typo.
Yeah.
So that's my request tonight.
Because of the typo, it looks like we're... It, we need to do this.
And Union City took it out of their economic, their edit, as well as the county. I think it's kind of it's an economic thing. I mean, you know, a thing that was brought up not long ago is if we keep losing 30-somethings, where's our workforce?
Yeah. Well, I'll make a motion to get $857.50.
A second.
How do you, from what account, from what fund? Just do it. Find the money and do it.
Whatever she says to take.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. It's been motioned and seconded to donate $857.50 to Reach All Randolph County for billboard. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All right. Passed.
Thank you.
Next up, Rick Koop and Randy Davis, Better Life, Brianna's Hope. Gentlemen.
It's a pleasure for us to get to be here with you tonight. A Better Life, Brianna's Hope, is a recovery and support group for those battling the battle with addiction, much like you're talking about here. We presently have 4 chapters. One is located in Red Key, one is in Daleville. One is in Muncie, just off the Muncie Bypass, Tabernacle of Praise. They had a fire there 4 or 5 years ago. Fireman lost his life. Maybe that'll help you know where that's at. And one in Hartford City. Effective April 8th, a new chapter will open up in Union City. Effective April 28th, just got the word today, a new chapter will open up in Hagerstown. So we're experiencing some good growth, some good experiences, and great things are happening. happening. We call ourselves participant-driven, faith-based, compassion-filled. Our mission statement's to provide hope through Christ to individuals and communities battling addiction using support, encouragement, collaboration. We're not about the addiction, we're about the addict. We're not about the struggle, we're about the struggler. We strive for honesty, transparency, openness in everything we do, and we expect it out of those who attend our meetings. Between our four locations, they meet Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Between those four locations, we average over 100 what we call addict strugglers or overcomers. So we feel good about that, and that growth is continuing. To tell you a little bit of the story of how this all got started, it's based on this young lady right here, Brianna DeBatisse. At the age of 25, on June 16th of 2014, Brianna was reported as missing. It became a statewide, nationwide search with a lot of attention given to Dayton, Ohio for a lot of reasons, okay? But regardless, they never kept her addiction a secret. The family made it very clear and very open. It was 10 weeks before they found her body. Her body was found at the Jay County Conservation Club in what is called the Old Pioneer Cemetery. Her body was found on top of the ground with brush over it. Think about it. She didn't get there herself. Somebody knows what happened, but nobody knows who that somebody is yet. The guess, the qualified guess on this is that she probably OD'd. Somebody took her body out there like a piece of trash, left it with brush over it. Who do you know that deserves that? I don't know anyone. It's just not the way it's supposed to be. But as a part of that, I interviewed 75 to 100 addict strugglers and overcomers personally, asking what they needed, and we came together with what's called a Better Life, Brianna's Hope. Brianna, her family found a prayer that she had written. It was in with some of her important records to where she knew if anything ever happened to her, the family would find it. It's on your pamphlet there in the italics, there at the upper right-hand corner. Please, Lord, look after me and my family. Please help me to do the right thing and show people I'm not a bad person inside or out. And help me, Lord, to get through this disappointment again. I know I make mistakes, but who doesn't? I don't do it to do wrong. I do it because I feel I have no other choice. I want a better life, Lord, I do. Please help me. Do to me as what you feel is best. I surrender to you in Jesus' name. Amen. That's a pretty powerful prayer. It tells Brianna's story. She was a homecoming queen candidate, made great grades. She had a lot going for her. But as they look back, they realized her addiction started in middle school. She was still able to function. The heroin aspect of it kicked in high school, and then in those years following high school. She fought that battle in and out of jail, struggling with this and that, trying to get clean and couldn't get it done. Just it was too much for her, and we're sure that it played a role in her demise, okay, in her death. So on November 5th of 2014, we had our first meeting in Red Key. We had 22 people present. We now average right at 50 people every Wednesday night. Again, we refer an addict as somebody who's not trying to move out of that active addiction. that are active usage. Once they move beyond that, we call them a struggler, because they are trying to take that next step in a positive way. They're seeking and wanting help. An overcomer is someone who has been clean a given amount of time. We call you a success if you're continuing to move forward. There's going to be times you're going to stop, you're going to hit a roadblock, you're going to have a relapse, you're going to do something you wish you hadn't done. But if you pick yourself up at that point and then start forward again, we call you a success. In the 16 months that we've been in operation, we have sent 98 individuals to some sort of detox, rehab, residential treatment, transitional housing. We have sent 38 since January 1st. As I'm listening to your statistics, I see it in, you know, what we're trying to do, Bob. So, you know, the increase is there. The numbers are there. An addict who is active in their usage, you know what they'll do to get their next fix, whatever it takes. What's an addict do when they're trying to get clean and they don't have money? They want to get clean from the inside out, okay? So where do they turn to? We have been blessed by people who have helped to provide funds to where not a single one of those, I shouldn't say that, some of them did help. 90% of them, A Better Life, Brianna's Hope, was able to cover the cost. Cover the cost of getting them into Harbor Lights in Indianapolis for a 7 to 12 day detox, which is $255. Then you get a phone call and they want to stay for 2 more weeks of residential therapy. That's $420. Now we're hooked up with a place in Arizona. They actually have 4 locations. We're able to send you there for 6 months if you're willing to stay there that long. All it costs is the price of a plane ticket, which we've covered that, and 1 insurance premium, and that's dependent on your age, but it's $250 to $300. We just, within the last few days, tied in with a place in California that is long-term, totally free. They cover the flight cost. That's pretty incredible, okay? Rick, tell them about the place that you're dealing with.
We also are now in contact with a couple of places. One is in Tennessee and one is in Texas. They have offered to us a very similar package. They said they couldn't do it all the time, but they're going to allow us to send people, and it'll be a scholarship basis where they will pay for it. Both of these facilities were former cabins, retreat areas, and now they've been turned into rehab detox areas. So we're able to use those also. Packets are coming to us so that we can evaluate. And we try to find out what's going on. We don't know everything about all the places, but we do know people who are in contact, and they know a lot about them, so we feel very comfortable when we send people there. As you guys know, sometimes it's better to send somebody away. Get them away from the area, get them away from the people. Got to get them in a circle where people are on the same mission as they are. So that's a couple more places that we got that we're working on.
A lot of that sounds like we're reactive, and indeed we are, but we're also proactive. We've had the opportunity to take, we took about 12 or 14 of our group to the J. Canley High School, spoke to about 850 students. We took 5 individuals, went over to Fort Recovery High School, did an all-school assembly. We've spoken at Ball State University. We've been at the middle school level, the elementary Just Say No clubs, to the alternative school there in J. Canley. Lots of clubs, groups, churches, organizations. It's an important part of their healing. We're going to do a Meet the Addict event where we will have any number of our group there as a part of it as the kickoff for the Union City chapter. It will be done on a Monday. Their meetings will take place on Friday. Then as far as the Hagerstown chapter, we'll do a Meet the Addict event. It's a public thing. And we will do that on the 21st. Then they start their program on the 28th. Over the last couple, 3 weeks, within the last month to 6 weeks, We've had numerous officers in from the Portland Police Department for a Wednesday night meeting. You think that isn't a treat? You know, it was always a for or an against, but we're trying to make it a with. And it has been handled so incredibly proper by both groups that it's making a difference. It's truly opening some doors. This Wednesday night, Todd Wickey from the Portland Police Department, their chief investigator, he'll be joining us. That's a pretty neat thing. We're tied in with some members of the police department over at Union City. We're looking forward to making that happen in other places as well. We've received support from the Jay County Hospital. I'm going to go speak to them at Fayette Regional Hospital over in the Connersville area this Friday, as a matter of fact. Some of us are going over for an extended session with another group over there. So our goal is to be a liaison of healing and help between the community and those struggling with the addiction, and to be there to support and encourage. I'll tell you what, I think we're finally getting the point. And I know, you know, everything changes. It has to. We've got to tweak and retweak. But we're not going to arrest the problem away. We've got to meet it at a different point, at a different level. And I think places are opening to that. And as unfortunate as it is, Brianna's death in our area made an incredible difference with this kind of stuff. You don't want to lose somebody to make that happen. How many of you know somebody who's active in addiction or has been? You know, that's going to be the majority wherever you go, okay? So we're there to try to meet that need, to let them know that people care and understand. So we just wanted to come and share with you what we have to offer. If there's any way we could come on board together, Rick, you want to add anything?
Yeah, Randy likes to talk about the elephant in the room. You all raised your hands. It's the elephant in the room. It's a thing that we don't always talk about in the open. One of the things that we do is we bring this out in the open. We make communities aware. The addicts, one of the most miraculous things, one of the most powerful things that I've seen, is addicts who are on recovery, when they start chasing recovery like they chased the addiction, things change. And they're ready to tell their story. They're ready to talk about their successes. They're ready to talk about their victories. When they start doing that, you know, there's an old adage, one addict can't fool another addict. You know, somebody who's been there, done that, has the scars to prove it, it's very hard to fool them with the denial aspect. But once these addicts start telling their story, once the strugglers, the overcomers, start telling their story, you watch them change, you watch communities change.
We've seen families get their children back from CPS early. We've had those who have had their charges delayed or totally dropped because of the difference in them from that forgery crime of 2013 to now where they're at, okay? They've come so far that the prosecutor didn't want to throw them in jail for what it was because of who they are and kick them in, you know, in reverse. So that's kind of who we are. That's what we're about. If you have any questions, anything I can respond to or Rick could, we'd be glad to do that. But, yeah.
So they come to you, right? And then you say you're faith-based. I mean, it's like, what's the spiritual part of about that? I don't know what faith-based is.
Sure.
Do you do that, or because no, I don't mean this hateful, but a lot of them recovery programs are just dealing with the people. The only way I see to fix this program is it's a spiritual problem. That's the way I feel about it.
Well,
I'm Christian, and I think that's only because I know what I was at one time and how God changed my whole life around. And so I think the same thing's got to be. So my question to you is that, so give me a typical, say I'm a drug addict. Show me how what happens.
You give me a call, you say you've got an issue with addiction, we'll talk, try to build a momentary relationship to begin with. I'll get into it as to what that addiction is, how long you've been addicted. Have you tried to reach out for help before? You'll be invited to our meeting. You'll be told of our other meetings, depending on where you live geographically. If you have an interest in getting into a detox or rehab, I'd end up giving you the phone number. I will not make the call for you. And if grandma calls for you, or mom or dad, or sister or brother, I'll listen and say, I've got to talk to them. We all want to help for our loved ones. They're not always ready to get the help. And until they are, you know, we're still up against the wall. So I give you the number, you make the call to that center. They'll tell you when they can get in. A typical meeting is very celebratory. It'll open up with a, you know, just some business. We have what we call victory reports. Somebody will stand up and say, hi, I'm so-and-so. I peed clean for the first time in 12 years. We get that, and we applaud for somebody peeing clean. Let me tell you, that's a big step. Somebody says, I've been clean for a week. I've been clean for X amount of days. I've been clean for a year. This coming Wednesday night, we'll have two people that will celebrate 1 year clean. Okay? And then we'll get into a little lesson of some sort that's spiritually founded and based. All right? I'm not going to beat them over the head with the Bible. If they want to be in church, they'll come Sunday. But we're going to offer them some hope and help through Christ, as I said, as a part of our mission. Then we go ahead, we'll either have a speaker who's been there, done that, has the scars to prove it, or we'll do a bigger lesson kind of thing. We always close with a word of prayer. You know, you participate at your level and your comfort, but we encourage everybody to participate because we believe that's part of the healing and a positive part of the journey. So does that answer that?
Yeah.
Good. Good.
Go ahead. Papa, so we also provide meals. He wanted me to remember. We also provide meals. One of the things that we do there is we have a family atmosphere. You guys know it's not a secret. A lot of these people have burnt the bridges with their family. Well, we're the kind of family where we care about you, we love you, that faith, you know, let your light shine, where we're not in your face, but we're standing beside you. One of the things we do during that is provide the meal, and we're the family that kind of stands with them now. Only we're the family that's not afraid to tell them, you know.
And along with that, providing the meal, it's the community that provides it.
Exactly.
It's those outside the group. We've now met for 69 weeks, and only one Wednesday night did we not have food. That's because the lady forgot. The other 68 people have brought it in, and they bring it in mass. And you want to know a neat part of that? Somebody says, you know, the community doesn't understand me. They don't like me. They don't this, blah, blah. I'll just simply ask them, who brought that food back there? Did you? And of course, no. And I'll tell them who did. And that kind of changes the tune a little, okay? But we've had open nights where the public's invited. We try to steer away from that a little bit in our chapter because we want some of that privacy issue. Their privacy is not as important to them as you might think it is. You remember that article in the paper for possession. They want you to see the whole thing. They want you to see who they are instead of who they were. And they're proud to shout it out. And we're proud to let them give them the opportunities to do that. So, yeah.
So what would be your success rate, you know?
Yeah. Again, do you remember what I said our standard of success is? As long as somebody's moving forward. They may stumble and fall, but if they get up, keep moving forward, we call that a success. Because we have those who will stay in that hole, or they'll back up. I spoke today at Judge Fike's drug court over in Muncie, and I told him and the others gathered under oath, I could swear on a Bible that our success rate's 50 to 60%. And for those who continue to come, the two main reasons I hear for relapse are, number one, I thought I could do just one. No, you can't. And they're finding that out. The second most prevalent reason for relapse is I quit going to my meetings. Okay? We failed it with some people. I held 3 funerals in a 2-week period last summer, and they were all 3 drug-related deaths. One of them had attended our meetings, the other 2 hadn't. We've had 2 of our people die of overdoses since we've started. We know we're not going to reach them all, but we're not going to quit trying.
There you go.
What else?
Thank you.
If you have a meeting here in Winchester, what kind of building do you need to have it in?
You know what? That doesn't matter so much. One of the main things we require, we would want the leadership to come from here. Plus, we would want one of those 2 people to give us a letter of recommendation from their pastor. Now, we call that Team Hope, our leadership, okay? It can be 4 people. The Union City Group's going to be, it'll be probably 5 people in their Team Hope. The Hagerstown Group's going to be like 5 or 6. So those can be large groups. Most of us meet in churches. We were just, Rick meets in an old Lions Club building there at Daleville. We just recently spoke to the head of the community corrections over in Delaware County. He offered us a place in his building there. So as far as that goes, the building's not totally important.
The leadership is.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So that can be adjusted. We moved from what was a former bank to our church because we outgrew that building. And we are certainly open to do whatever we can do to help get a group going here, a chapter. We give a $500 jumpstart package as far as victory tags, as far as t-shirts, administrative items, and there's a lot more that goes with that, okay, because we want to help you get going. Our donations have come in, you know, multiple ways. I'm big into Facebook. That's where a lot of it comes from. Clubs, groups, churches, individuals. Yeah, yeah. There's information on there, and we welcome any questions or interest in anyone.
If Winchester wanted a chapter, what would we do?
Get a hold of me. If you've got somebody interested in the leadership, Rick and I, one of us, both of us, would gladly sit down with them, show them the expectations from their side to us and our side to them, what they can expect to receive. We'll give them a starter packet to help them get going with lessons if they want that. We're available to them just like we are the attic, 24/7.
We would also ask that they attend one of our meetings at least 4 times so that they can get an idea of what's going on in the meetings.
And we've had a Saturday training session. That's where the Union City, or at least the Hagerstown folks, that's where they came on board. We'll have other training sessions.
So when you say Union City and Hagerstown, you don't necessarily mean the city council.
No.
It's
somebody
going out
to the
community.
Exactly.
And sharing this information and seeing if you have somebody interested in helping out with this.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes, yes. It's actually, both of those are starting within churches, okay, who have been, you know, an interest to this.
And in my inexperienced, amateur research and experience with this, is that it's not a one-size-fits-all approach, but there are, you need multiple avenues. The drug addict who wants to recover has, the path of recovery is as unique for that individual as is a fingerprint. So the multiple opportunities, I think is getting closer to the key to this.
In response to her prayer, there's AA, there's NA, there's Celebrate Recovery. We're totally different from any of them. We're another avenue, okay, another option, another flavor. Indiana's ranked number 16 in the United States as far as deaths by alcohol and drugs. The number one, if you adjust every county in Indiana population-wise, Wayne County leads the state in deaths due to heroin and reported heroin usage. The number two county is Ripley, that's where Versailles is, and number three is Jay County. As far as reported heroin use. Delaware County's number one were meth lab busts in Indiana. That's kind of, you know, you've got to be careful with that. But there's obviously a lot going on, so is there a need for us somewhere? Without being arrogant, yeah. And I thank God it's working. And we're seeing a difference. We're seeing lives change. I have a letter of recommendation here from the Jay County Coroner. When the coroner's recognizing what you're doing and seeing a change in his death calls, that tells you something, okay? And he would vouch for that. We've got others from principals and the judge over at the city court in Dunkirk and the changes he's seen. So, yeah. This, we just recently had made. Obviously, that's Brianna's picture there. You can see the meeting opportunities, more information. We will soon be having more of these made with a couple new chapters coming on, and we'll make sure it's individual to them, and we'd love to be able to add Winchester to that at some point. There is no cost to get police.
If there is, I don't know if you have those in high schools or if it's appropriate, I don't know. But I guess my question would be, is if you did have those in high schools to make those meeting times, to make the students aware and things like that, would they have to have some sort of permission from their parents? Or
you know what, I'm not sure how the school system works on that, so that'd be a better
one. Is there an age?
No, we've got teenagers who come. We had a young man last week, 16 years old, who was just telling his story. We've had others who have been kicked out of high school because of drug use, who in turn became one of our speakers the next year, and his school was encouraging him to be involved. So yeah, we run anywhere from 15, 16 to mid to late 50s, and then there was me. Is that it?
Yep. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
At this time, I'll open up the floor for public concerns. Public concerns?
Yeah, that'd be me. I just wanted to thank John for coming down. And we have a dock down at Omega that's really hard to get in and out, and Sean's going to try to make it a lot better for us. And just wanted to thank him for coming down and looking at it and fixing our problem.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else? It doesn't have to be a compliment. Well, let's move on to unfinished business. First item, building maintenance. Chief Thunder might be able to speak more to this, but the animal control, animal shelter work is completed. Chief, do you know, you have any other?
Yes, they actually completed it today.
Today?
Yes, they were putting in the last window this morning.
Pardon?
And I know Joe told me after lunch that they were finishing up today on that. So all the work that he had asked, you know, to be done has been finished. I went out there this morning and looked at it. It looks really nice. I mean, they've done a good job, and it looks good.
Underground painting. He's got two community.
Yeah, he has two community service people that have, between the two of them, 60 hours that they've got to work. So he's going to go buy some gallons of paint and use their entire 60 hours to repaint the inside of their shelter.
Very good. Thank you. Item B is Union Street traffic issues. In your packet, you should have an ordinance.
Certain streets need generated communicators or packets. We talked about printing them. Yep. Welcome. but I don't think four is in there, and that's one we're discussing right now, so.
Let me read it to you.
Yes.
On the east side of Union Street, 150 feet from the intersection of Union Street and 4th Street, from 7 a.m. to 8:30 a.m., then 2:30 p.m. to 3:30 p.m., Monday through Friday, on the east side.
And this is no parking?
No parking.
So how do we finish that?
Well, you vote to.
Accept it?
You vote to. First reading, you're not going to get all three readings because Tom's on there. Signs on there, up there now.
7:30, 8:30, 2:30, 3:30.
So we have to get through three readings?
Yeah, but you're not going to do it because Tom's on there. Yep.
They said 7:30.
The sign says 7:30? Well, I amended to say 7:30, since the ordinance and the sign.
You guys discussed.
Or you need to change the sign.
I think it's a problem at 7:30, I think it needs to be 7 o'clock.
Yeah, so they'll have to change the sign.
Yeah, because buses are going, see, they pick up Muncie Career Center people, 7 o'clock, and a lot of them are heading through that way already.
They told me 7 o'clock, that's why it's 7. So blame Dave.
You've got it right.
I think it should be 7.
Yeah.
So the ordinance here is right, the sign is wrong.
Yeah, I think it needs to be 7 o'clock.
Can we do anything on this?
Do the first reading by title only.
I'm making a motion, we have the first reading on title only of ordinance 2016-4.
Second.
Been motion and second to have the first reading, ordinance number 2016-4.
Ordinance 2016-4, an ordinance for the City Council of Winchester, amending Chapter 75, Schedule 3, Subsection A, no parking zones.
I move to accept that. I make a motion to accept the reading.
Need a second.
Second.
It's been moved and second, we accept the reading. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
You'll have to wait, because Tom's on here.
First reading has been made.
Can I do the second?
You can't, you have to wait, Tom's on here.
I thought we couldn't do the third.
No, you can't do the second. You can't suspend the rules without.
Very good, it's probably paying you money.
That's why you're paid big. You guys, it's odd.
Okay, let's move into item C, trash service subcommittee update. Want to give us an update?
Yeah. Well, we've met twice. First, I'll tell you who's on the committee, there's myself, Dave Furby, Jim Nunez, Tom Shannon, and Karen Peters. We did that because we tried to cover basically east, west, north, and south. We need to get a woman on there because, you know, they know about the trash, so we have to do that for them. But anyway, we met twice, and we thought our thrust should be, to start with, would be to figure out the bidding process, because we have, it's a unique situation, you've got two trucks, and you've got totes you've got to get rid of. So we worked on that for two times, and we come up to a new set of specs, which I think is right here, aren't they, Vicki? These are the new ones?
Yes.
So you can see, she gave them together. So we changed a little bit, you know, about the 3-in-1 contract, the 20%, stuff like that. And we had Meeks at one of the meetings, and he sort of told us what we should do and what we couldn't do. So basically, we've got this done. And all we need to do now is that when Vicki can send it out, and we can accept bids. But before we do that, we're going to have another meeting. Bill, you might remember this, Monday night at 6 o'clock. It's going to be open to the public. So I'm going to be in here, and so if you've got a opinion on the trash, we want to hear it. And if you don't, we don't care, but I'm just saying you need to come and talk, because it's really a sticky issue, because there's a lot of facts involved with it, a lot of numbers involved with it. So we'll try to explain that to the public the best we can. And then we'll decide, and we'll come back next meeting with what our board decided, what our recommendation will be.
And your recommendation will be to bid it out or to leave it on?
Or maybe both, because there is a chance you can bid it out and leave it the way it is, because there's all kinds of options. You can bid it out, say, and the way it was explained to us by two of the people, one was from Best Way and one was from Big B, is that we could take them and let them bid it now, That wouldn't be effective the 1st of January.
Or?
If it's before that, they could still be effective before that. We won't put a date on it. In other words, if they bid this out and we accept it, the truck goes down tomorrow, they're under the contract, I think. I understood it, that right?
Yeah. And you're set on these bids?
Yes.
Are you still meeting about what the bids will be?
No.
Your joint, your decision?
No,
the specs. These are the specs.
The specs are what they're going to bid for. And if you notice on, I don't know, the last one, which I think was really unique in our situation, it says the bidder is required to provide a separate bid for sanitation trucks. And so it's the bid on the trash pickup. They got a bid on the trucks and the tow trucks.
And I'd like to point out number 20 on the bid spec. Bidder shall provide 4 dumpsters to the city of Winchester, 2 of which shall be designated for daily collections, and 2 of which shall be designed for pickup 3 times a week. Bidder shall furnish extra dumpsters to the city. Pickup is needed for annual celebrations or events such as Mardi Gras, special events in Winchester parks, and other special events identified by the city of Winchester.
Yes, that was one of the original specs. So the meeting will be Monday at 6 o'clock. The next meeting, the city council meeting, will have an opinion of.
Their meeting will be here?
Yeah. The meeting for the public will be here in the city council.
Great. Thanks for your work on that.
That's a good clue.
I
thought that's what Connect was all about. The special events that's identified by the city of Winchester.
Yeah, that can be a special event.
And you heard what's called said that he would give me into the dumpster.
Okay.
That's for well covered.
Okay. Item D is under old business is Police Department 12th Officer Proposal. Chief Tucker?
Okay. I approached you at the last meeting and give everybody kind of a breakdown as far as and to show the need of having a 12th officer. And it was brought up as far as where the funding could come from to pay for this year. And I spoke with Vicki, and she was saying that money could be taken from the public safety LOIT, correct? That was called, okay, the public safety LOIT, to be able to fund this 12th officer, which, like I said, in the past was a position we used to have anyhow. And so really what I'm asking for tonight is that you approve this request, so that, you know, I can get busy and try to find a 12th officer. I as far as update on employees right now, I still have Officer Giese that's off on FMLA. His predicted date now is April 11th that he's going to actually be off FMLA, and this will be his first official day at the county. July 11th will be Eric Davis's first day at the Law Enforcement Academy. He will be gone for 4 months. So, I mean, we are short-staffed right now. We're going to get shorter-staffed as far as until I can, like, replace Officer Giese once his official last day's up. And then, of course, then we're going to get right back down for 4 months while Josh is, Eric has gone to the academy. And my hopes is I started an application process just to build an eligibility list, hoping to entice some people that already are academy certified, which would save this city, you know, of having to send them away also for 4 months. That process or that application period actually ends next Monday. As far as, you know, they had like three and a half weeks as far as pick up applications and submit them. I do have at this time 1 academy certified applicant, which currently works at Union City, that has applied over here. I mean, but I'm hoping, you know, entice or at least get more than that, especially when potentially we're looking at needing 2 people, 1 for Officer Giese and then 1 for this 12th position. Do you have any questions as far as the need or?
I think you pretty much explained your need for last week.
And what will we pay the Rich?
$16.43.
Yeah, it's on the, I don't have my copy.
I have the ordinance here, but.
Yeah, I mean, it's the base salary is $34,175 as far as the yearly. And then, of course, then you get your medical insurance of $21, your clothing of $1,000, your pension. So it comes up to $63,65.
When I look over this thing and you start looking at how much overtime we're paying anyway, and then you're having, you know, officers who are having to go on 12-hour shifts, 2 and 3 days in a row possibly, if something, you know, on your schedule, and then if something comes up.
And one of the things, like on the schedule, that I'm trying to do to help cover, like with Josh gone, is that I rotated him to a day shift schedule, even though he's not here. But with doing that, then my detective is actually working the road. So he's not working as a detective. He's taking calls every day. And, you know, just like the rest of the patrol officers. By getting that 12th officer back, that would free him up to actually do investigations.
But that alleviates the overtime.
You're never going to alleviate all of it, because you're still going to have vacations and things like that, you know, that during those times, you're going to have overtime.
Right.
It's going to alleviate some of the overtime, but easily. You know, like I discussed, even by getting this 12th officer, I've got another one going to leave July 11th for the academy.
Right.
You know, state law, when they receive their first paycheck, they have 1 year to attend the academy, or they lose their arrest powers and they're done. His year will run out in October, so he has to go before then.
Right.
So, you know, we've already invested money in him by hiring him. But, so he's got to go. There's no getting around that part of it. But it's still going to put us down in that officer at that point for 4 months. Yeah, until he gets back. And then if I hire somebody, say, outside the area, even if they have the academy, and they've never worked in Randolph County, and beyond, they're never going to have a 12-week field training program they got to get through. So that puts them 3 months out from being able to start, as far as by themselves.
Right.
Now, if it's somebody that's worked in the county, they're already familiar, like with our police program, and already familiar with the county and the way police work in this county is done. Well, then they can do an accelerated training and get through in about 10 shifts. But they're not having to learn like the whole police program, because they're already using it.
Right.
Like in the one case, if it would happen to be the officer that applied from Union City, they already use the same program we use. So his training would be quicker versus if it was somebody, say, from Muncie. That is a certified police officer. They don't use Spillman. They'd have to learn our SOPs, our streets, because they're not from here. So even at that, but the benefit of that is you would have that 3 months for the training plus the 4 months that they'd be gone at the academy. And that's my hopes. I don't want to, you know, start off this year understaffed, and I don't want to, you know, get blessed enough to get the 12th officer back and try to get us back to full staff, and then next year you've got, you know, two green people that you're going to be 8 months without officers again because they're both having to be gone. So, you know, I'm going to be pretty picky about the application process.
Well, I make a motion that we approve the 12th officer for the Winchester Police Department.
I second that.
It's been moved. Any further discussion?
I just got one. You talking about the overtime? I've never been able to see that. So, how much is the difference? Like, we're hiring this guy. How much will cut your overtime? I know you can't tell the exact figures.
Yeah, and there's no way for me really to be able to tell you the exact figures. Like on this, every bit of this overtime this month is created because
you're lacking the guy.
But yeah, the one's off on FMLA, and then I have one that went. Yes, he's gone right now. FMLA, the whole month. So he's gone, and then I had 1 week I sent right here to training. Jason Milton went to training for a week. So I had to cover his shift and his shift, which would be the same way during this, you know, summer when people are on vacations. You know, if they're on a week's vacation, you got somebody else on another shift that's on a week's vacation, you've got to cover.
And that's what you're not showing on here is any week vacations.
Yeah, because those have kicked in yet. Right. If they're not start kicking in next month, as far as vacation requests, they're starting to come in for the summer. So a lot of times in the past, because of being a lot of the officers, then we've got to really take like weeks like a week off at a time with their parent. Sometimes they did, but a lot of times because of scheduling, they couldn't, so they end up eating up their vacation time like a day at a time. You know, take an extra day off or 2 days off.
So if you had a 12th officer, then this wouldn't bother you that much, as it does
now? If I had a 12th officer right now, I wouldn't have covered any of these.
Okay. That's pretty good amount of time there.
And we have money in Lubbock, right? $143,000?
$187,000, and you said only 100 of it's appropriated?
The first year we received Lubbock was last year, and then we have $186,000 in the fund right now, and then we receive monthly draws of about $16,000. So the Lubbock obviously will probably go for, it sounds like the 12th officer, which would be the around $65,000, and then...
Right, which would be a little less than that this year because we're...
$65,000.
Yeah, it'd be a little less than that somewhere because we're already into the third month of the year. So, I mean, by the time we're actually getting hired, you're going to be into the fourth month of the year, so you can take 4 months of that off of that would be the more accurate total.
That's my only question.
There's a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor? 12th officer, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have an update on blighted homes and tax sale properties. At this time, we found that we have two homes eligible for the blighted grant to help remove the homes. Down on Meridian Street, Short Street and Meridian Street, the yellow house on Meridian Street.
It's along Short Street.
It's two, second or third one from the corner of Residence.
213, right?
Yeah. To the east. Yeah, it's good to the east. It's on the north side.
Okay.
You can drive down there. I don't know which one it is.
I know what you mean. I didn't.
Right across from the gas station.
Yeah.
Brett, do you have anything to add on
that? I was just going to add, we, or Mike Jones actually talked to the auditor's office, and from the auditor's office we learned that these two properties were the two properties that had been through the tax sale and were now eligible for the county commissioners to award the tax certificates to the city, which is a threshold eligibility to apply for grants to demolish the two houses. That's just the tax sale certificates. Once you are in that position, I believe the same grant that was made available last year to municipalities will be made available this year, and the city could apply. We are familiar with those grant applications, know how to do those, have been successful with everyone we've ever worked on, and would be willing to do that work for the city of Winchester to try to recoup the money to tear the two houses down. So
that's the only way you can tear them down, like going to the tax sale and get the tax.
No, you can tear them down.
You can tear them down. This is just a free way to tear them down. Is what I'm talking about. Right. So this is the way to do it without using your own.
I know, but I'm just saying you have.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'd have to pay.
It is a process too. The communities that I have done this in, it usually takes a solid year to get the houses down. So if this is a problem right now that you're hearing about phone calls every day from neighbors in the area, and you have funds to demolish them on your own, I recommend you do that. If it's not that big of a deal and you can wait a little while and get some free money to tear it down, we're happy to work on it for you. It's your decision.
What would our cost be to demolish them on our own?
Well, we could get quotes.
The last
one. Not like free.
I'll tell you, it's been running you up between $5,000 and $7,500.
How much?
$5,000 and $7,500. The last two or three was. Would that be about
when
right?
When they're
there?
Double, they're
is that about right?
Usually about $13,000. But yeah, you're about right, Mike. Yes.
The one on Carl Street was $5,000.
The one on 4th Street was more because it was a double. Yeah. It was around $12,000.
And that's taking it back to a green lot.
Taking it down, haul out. Yeah, you can't bury it.
Yeah.
You cannot bury a house in the city.
No more.
One of the requirements.
Oh no! We'll just leave it at that.
One of the requirements with the grant is that the city have a plan for the lot after the house is demoed, and they prefer that you either divide it and let the neighbors or an adjoining neighbor acquire the property, or you turn it into what they call a green pocket park of some sort. So just depending on where it is, you determine whether a neighbor wants it or whether the city wants to clean it up and mow it and have it as a nice little area in the community. So I'll continue to work with the mayor on that, though, and maybe we can procure some demolition quotes just to see what it would cost the city.
Thank you.
You have, you want to see those? I didn't print them all up. Those are the appraisals on the inherited properties we received at the last round. So it looks like, well, it looks like I didn't print them all up. There's one additional one that's a bare lot. So you have four bare lots, and you have the Sunoco building. And I hope to have, I had hoped to have the appraisals today from the other company. The guy from Portland, I forget his name.
Hamlin, is it?
Hamlin.
Yeah.
Hamlin, is that it? Portland, Scott.
Your questions, how many do we have?
Where were they? These are like $200. These appraisals are like nothing. So I don't know if you guys want to try to get to the property owner, Jason. That's up to you guys. Try to sell them. They're empty lots. You have a lot of interest in Sunoco, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is there any stipulation on what lot size has to be before you can build a home on it?
Yes.
Do they meet that requirement?
They're like 10,000 square feet. It's not much. It's like a post. I mean, it's, I would assume all these would be well qualified.
Have we tried to sell them yet?
We haven't tried to do anything. I don't know what they're going to do.
Sitting there, right?
Yeah, I don't know what you guys want to do. If you want to, if you want to put it, well, I was going to ask you one that, once I get the other ones, if you want me to have Dickie put it in the paper, we can do the bids like we normally do, put it in the paper.
So are you saying you want to have, give people an opportunity to bid on that house on?
No.
Okay.
No, we're talking about the lot.
Okay.
It's just
yeah.
The five you
great.
Just looked at.
Great.
No, the house.
And Sunoco.
Yeah.
And Sunoco.
Sunoco. Okay. So that, wouldn't you think that'd be the best approach?
We've always put it in the paper. I don't know.
And then if they don't get
seems like it's such a crapshoot. No, I have any idea. I guess it depends on who buys them.
Yeah. So, Meeks, just to clarify for council members that haven't been through this, will this be the two appraisals then when we advertise? Would it need to bring the 90%. Average?
Actually, these are so low that if there's a threshold amount in the statute.
Okay.
These are below the threshold amount. So you could pretty much take anything
whatever you want
on these lots. If it wasn't, like the Sunoco one, which is a little more valuable, that would have to reach 90% of the appraised value. If it didn't reach 90% of the appraised value in the first round, we just rebid it, re-advertise it, and you take anything you want. So sometimes you'll have to go through a two advertising. Right. And the bid is an open bid, so you just walk into Vicky's, you write down the bid, and anybody can look at it.
So if I buy a home that's on a tax sale, is there any ordinance or any guidelines on how much time or what I have to do with that piece of property, or can I just let it sit and fall in?
Just like anything else.
Yeah. What to do now.
Now, you can get the one on Meridian Street. The guy had offered it to the
right.
Former mayor, and he said, pay the taxes, and then we'll do it. So if you want the Meridian Street, he will deed that to you today. I'll call him up.
Did we pay the taxes?
Yeah, I mean, he was in my office.
Yeah,
I mean,
so what are the taxes?
He'd be knocking on my door.
Right. What are the taxes on that, do you know?
Three.
It was significant, I thought. I thought it was $5,000 or $6,000.
Which is amazing, because he owns six properties in Winchester. I mean, he owns all the way from 316 East Franklin, which I used to live in that house years ago, to other properties that are worth something.
Now
I'm
you
amazed.
Can forgive the you can forgive the sewer and the mowing heads.
Yeah.
I mean, but I still think if the taxes were. What did I tell you, Sean? 5 or 6?
I was thinking 3. But
yeah, you're thinking 3. It's yeah. It was. It could have been with everything. If you wanted it, the problem is you take it, you have to pay the tax.
Right.
The city wants just to be paying the taxes. And city councils don't usually like to pay taxes.
No.
It's impossible to put a lien on another property he owns in good standing because you know he has the money.
Not that I know of.
But purchase
but
is through one of these properties like we're talking about now.
Mm-hmm. But that's
how
this
all starts.
We have to pay the taxes on homes that haven't gone through
right.
Taxes. These other homes,
We don't have to pay the tax.
Yeah, we don't pay the tax. We pay like.
We can go wait a year.
Yeah, we pay like $50 to get the thing transferred to us, and we don't pay much. So if you wanted the one on Meridian Street, I wanted to tell you guys, certainly get it.
Yeah, he came in and offered it to us, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And Steve told him, pay the taxes, and we'll take it.
He come in even last week or something, and then for the year.
He'd be in every week. I like him, by the way, so. I can use it.
Anything else on that item? Let's roll into new business.
I got another question.
Yes.
So if he goes to a tax sale on these new ones, and he.
He can't buy a tax sale, because he cannot buy that one a tax sale. He cannot rebuy. You cannot buy.
What if he shows it?
No, you cannot. If your name is on there, you can't bid on, there's a specific statute that if you have a delinquent property, you can't come in and bid on other properties or that property. Now, will auditor catch it? Will people know? I don't want to tell you any of those things. But you have to certify, he would have to sign a document to say that.
Because on all these other properties, he is down as a construction company.
When you walk in, you have to sign your name to an affidavit that says you're not an owner, blah, 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 and they don't have anything.
So he couldn't bid on these buyers?
Well, he could sell it to them. These are yours. These are City of Winchester. That'd be entirely up to where you guys want to be. It's the tax sale ones. So did I get an authorization to advertise it when we get the other ones on?
Okay, I'll make a motion to advertise.
Second.
Further discussion on advertising? All those in favor signify by saying aye. Let's go into a new business. Departmental reports. Think we have fire department in front of you?
Yeah, I.
Chief Moore, do you have anything?
I handed out the memo of kind of what we've been doing. I hope to get those to you by email in the future as soon as things slow down a little bit. Have submitted the application for our upgrade of our EMS service to paramedic, and he's actually waiting on us to come inspect our ambulances when we get all the equipment in. We are waiting on some equipment and supplies. Our cardiac monitor has been ordered, that we received a grant for, I'd say, 80% of the purchase through the hospital foundation. In addition to the application for the upgraded service, we did apply to the EMS commission for a waiver on the 24/7 rule, which basically, as we are staffed right now, we have three paramedics. So we have a paramedic on three of our shifts. The fourth shift, if we don't have that staffed with one of our career guys or a part-time person, then we can send an email to the state and tell them we're running at the basic level for that day. I've talked with the mayor. We're going to try and pursue a couple grant opportunities. One is a $4,000 grant through Homeland Security. And then there's a small window where they're open, and they're both already open. And one of them closes on the 18th, and one of them closes on the 26th. And the other one's the AFG Safer Grant, which would assist us in what we're trying to do with our employees as far as getting 2/4 additional paramedic firefighters. Any questions?
No, you did say we have one life support system that's being donated.
Yes,
one more release for a dollar.
Yes, Reed Hospital has a program that they currently have some monitors in the county through Randolph County EMS and the Union City Fire Department. They have given us a monitor, leased us a monitor for a dollar a year. with the, it's known that we'll take patients down there, so that's why they're trying to, it's kind of an outreach program through their emergency department. So that's very, very beneficial to us to get a piece of equipment like that.
Thank you, Chief.
Sure.
Chief Tucker?
Yeah, I just give a quick progress report as far as where the police department's at. Since the first of the year, we've answered 615 calls for service. Breakdown shown as far as a lot of the enforcement that's up. Third shift, they've arrested as far as 6 OWIs since the first year, which is actually up from years in the past. They've had 7 drug recalls, or drug calls that have been more in just concerned citizens. 24 theft calls, 8 domestics. We've had 10 drug dealing cases that we have filed with the prosecutor's office since January. Last Friday we shut down the 2 meth houses. And we still are working some other drug cases. On the bottom, I put down as far as the personnel training to date. I just wanted to show that I'm trying to send the officers to some specialized trainings so that, you know, the activity you've been seeing will continue for years to come. A lot of these officers that's receiving this training don't already have it. And as you can see, the topic that most of the training they're going for is for like the drug investigation, the investigation period. And, you know, and that's just trying to make sure that we build a strong police department, not for just now, but for the future. You know, after some of us 4 senior officers have left, you know, you've got to replace that training. So I'm trying to get that started as well. And then I already discussed when I was up there in front of you a few minutes ago about where the personnel update was as far as manpower and you know, where these people are at and where they're going to be.
Any questions?
Thank you, Chief.
Yeah, I've got one. Is there any grants available from the state to help in this fight against drugs? I mean, as far as...
There are grants, and I have not had time yet to look at the grants. I have full intentions on locating some grants. I've got Mr. Bookhouse working on a grant right now for body cameras for the department. I'll update everybody, or he may be able to update you now, but that's one of the things that I took to him for a year was he asked like what kind of equipment we could use, and I said body cameras. And I know he helped Delville Police Department acquire those through a grant, and he's working on that right now for us as well. So yeah, there are grants out there, and you know, I'm going to use that resource to try to find some other grants. I have some other projects that I'm working on and I plan on trying to fund the grants as well.
You guys have been doing a great job of that, and I just wanted to know if there's any grants available for additional personnel to help you out, you know, like undercover people.
Well, there's not any of those anymore. I mean, years ago there was they were used to call the cops grant. A lot of those dried up, but there's always grant money out there for like public safety and stuff. But it's according to what areas you're looking in. But for like the drugs or drug equipment or things like that, a lot of times you can find it. It's just getting somebody that's used to writing grants that know how to prepare. You know, I wrote grants when I was the assistant chief, not as far as a professional writing grants by no means. I was pretty successful on getting a few items back then, but you know, that's been 10 years ago, so I'd have to get back in touch with how some of these grant processes run.
Thank you.
So, Rich, all the people that are going through all this training,
yeah,
is that so they can receive the certification that make them more money?
I'm sorry?
I said that all these people are going through this training, will that qualify for certifications? Remember?
Yes, well, it does.
Yeah. They'll be making more money then, right, if they go to the certification.
Yeah.
And then the way we agreed to that?
For the budget this year?
Yeah.
I believe so. I think it's a stipend, though. It's a one-time payment, am I right?
Yeah, I mean, like the breath test, I mean, that's
like the TASER instructor, that's something, he's already a TASER instructor, he has to recertify every 2 years or he quits being a...
So they're not all certifications?
No, not all certifications.
They're new ones, some of them are new.
But they're not all certifications.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, like the one that Brandon and Captain Hoover went to that attended the prescription drug investigation, yeah, that's not a certification. That was one day class they went to. I mean, so it was just training. It was, you know, learn how to do some investigations on the prescription drug issues.
Okay, thank you, Chief. The street department received an award last week. The Main Street program honored the street department with the above and beyond recognition. Frank, do you have anything else you'd like to share?
I've been pretty busy filling potholes, trying to keep trash picked up, and we've been spending a lot of time in the department. Got a lot of work to do over there.
We have a...
It's looking better.
It is.
Did the pool guy come in?
Yes, last week we stood in the snow. Forget his name, Rob? Rob came in and did some visual checks of the pool, looked at the liner, and we're going to do some further tests. We're doing some in-home tests right now with the water level. We believe that the problem is in the pool itself and not necessarily in the pump house. So we did do some research. Last time that the pool had a new liner was 2003. And I guess the life expectancy on pool liners is 10 to 20 years. So it's been 13. So I'm keeping my toes crossed that it's just the liner. Even that's inexpensive.
Mayor?
Yes. Yes, department?
One of the things that I've been listening to is at Brookville having about the same situation as Winchester, and they took it under advisement, the council, just shutting it down for a year to see, because they have water seepage.
Well,
and, I mean, I don't know if it's exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
I don't know yet.
Yeah, we're still investigating. We looked around the pool. We couldn't find where the water was leaking out at, you know, as far as if it's draining into the creek. We still want to look at it more closely with a couple more in-home tests. But yes, that is true. Aging infrastructure all over the state. And our pool was built in the 70s. And so things do age. And update and maintenance is very, very important to facilities.
Preventative maintenance is very important to the facilities.
Yes. Yep. And I think 13 years on that liner is a long time. Mm-hmm. That pool the liner was. It's going to last too long.
Yeah. Okay, let's go into B. Unless there's any further discussion on departmental reports. Okay. Salary ordinance 2016-3. This is a salary ordinance to fix the salaries. Let's see, for paramedic and firefighter, and a position called park labor special experience part time. It is. Frank, you want to discuss that?
Yes, it's just an assistant over there to get some guidance to the personnel that will be working there. Hopefully, I'd like to hire a person with some basic knowledge in carpentry, electrical work, plumbing, those types of things.
Would that be for 6 months out of the year, probably?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And haven't we always had an assistant park director on there, but we didn't fill it?
Correct. Mm-hmm. We did 1 year. But it was still a part-time, you see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like the, like you just said, the 6 months.
What was their pay scale?
$9, I think.
It would have been so long. How long ago would that have been?
3 years ago.
Oh.
Here, let's see.
And we have an assistant park superintendent position for 1023.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's not being
excuse me, that was it.
So
that's it. That was it. But this is an amendment for a skilled, a special experience part-time. Right, Frank?
Yes.
Okay.
Because it's hard to find an employee to come out there and do that work when the salaries or the hourly wages of the other employees at the street department who are commingling now with the street and the park are making $4 extra or beyond what the park assistant special experience is making.
And this person would be supervising some other work, I mean, doing things, but also overseeing people doing some work too, mm-hmm. to make sure it got done right.
And it could be cross, you know, cross-trained. They could go onto the street and do some, you know, street work as well.
So full-time job?
It's part-time.
It's part-time. It's 40 hours a week for 6 months. Is that right?
Yes.
I mean, you know, I struggle with putting a 19, 20-year-old kid on a backhoe, you know.
Do you have somebody in mind, Frank?
Not at this time. When we're running out of passion paper, you all can come up with. That's what the one he wants to be.
It's going to be hard to hire someone that has any experience for $10 an hour.
Or 14 for 6 months.
Yeah, you might get a bad job done, but might.
I think, didn't you say two people turned you down?
Yes.
At the $10?
Sure.
Would they accept it at 14?
It's actually 15. Let's call it 15.
Maybe. So what do we need? We just need to change the ordinance and outline to fill this position.
Yeah, I mean the money's already there. The money's budgeted in. You're just changing the ordinance to call it park labor special right. experience part time.
Wasn't in the original.
Right. So, but I don't think we can do anything. We can do anything without.
That's the first. That's the first reading. Wait till the next meeting. Tom, too. Pass over too.
Well, I make a motion that we. Okay.
Excuse me. So there's also other amendments for the fire department as well. On page 4, mm-hmm. Gary.
Yeah.
I was talking to Vicki a while ago, and as opposed to coming before you a couple more times, I'd like to make an addition to my amendment. This is to the one you've got in your packet, I think, is to offer about $3,000 more to the paramedics is what it's going to come down to. It's going to be $1,800 on their yearly salary, and then $1,200 for certification, which is, we pay $300 right now for an EMTB, so I want to make that $1,200 for EMTP, which is paramedic, and then also it was an additional $1,800 on the salary itself, which is down in section 23.
What's the total on that?
The total for $3,000 okay. per employee. And it's all just to get and keep good quality employees. I have no viable applications right now, and we've been running it for what, 3 weeks? So I'm going to have to look at training some of the personnel that I have currently.
You're $6,200 underpay from what Muncie and
right.
Richmond's paying.
Correct.
Well, you're 61 under from Richmond.
Yeah.
62 under from Muncie, so why are you going to come?
Yeah, when I went to the EMS commission meeting and was requesting the waiver and told him that I was, you know, currently trying to hire two firefighter paramedics, he said, "Are you having any luck?" And I said, "No." He said, "I'm not surprised. In that area, it's just, it's hard to get medics." But we do, I do have a, I mean, that's a conversation for another date, but I do have a couple of current volunteers that are interested in going to school, and I think they would stand a good shot at passing the curriculum and the testing. But it is, my addition comes up in section one, where it's listed all of, where part labor, special experience, part time is listed.
Yeah.
Right above that or below it, above it is firefighter. And that's our, that's what our wage breaks down to is firefighter, basic EMT. And the only thing I want to add on there is a couple lines. One of them for firefighter medic part time, the actual hourly rate to break down with the $1,200 and the $1,800, it comes out to $16.43 an hour. And then there's also between the basic, which I've been talking about, which we're certified now, and the paramedic, there's what's called an advanced level, which we are going to end up having a couple of those certified at the advanced level when it's all said and done. And I'd like to propose that that one, that hourly rate be $15.84.
And that $3,000 and that $1,800, uh-huh. When you run, if you get to close to what you think you're going to run in the new amp or the new services you're going to provide, you're going to recoup that, aren't
yes.
you?
Yes. Yes, I think that's all. When I put the proposal together, some of the salaries that I provided for the part-time was included with this, paying this fee, this additional fee. It wasn't built in that 126, if you remember, because that was based on our current wages. However, that would just, that's just going to come with my budgeting process for this year, for next year.
You know, you're even paying less than Dublin, little Dublin and Fuller Run Chambers.
Right. And it's just something that hopefully we can catch up with the user fees and attract and keep some good quality employees. I mean, we have three over here right now. I've got one part-time hired that the Board of Works looked at the last meeting, and I've got one more application that I'm going to have them look at their next meeting. So I do have some part-time people that are coming on that's going to help out tremendously. But if we can get this passed, maybe we can attract and then and or keep the quality of paramedics and firefighters that we need.
$6,100 difference between Winchester and Richmond. $6,122 and $6,203 between Muncie and Winchester.
That's for paramedics.
Yeah. So he wants to raise it $3,000, right. Sure, so it'll still be the other side.
Yeah.
So the only thing I would say was that, so he raises $3,000 to get trained, and then go over there and get $6,000 job.
If they can get it.
So my question was, Gary.
Yes.
You want to pay him $3,000 more, right?
Yes. Paramedics.
But yet that'll still be under what they are at Richmond and Muncie, right? $3,000.
Right. That's an added cost right now of $9,000 for the three that we have on staff, and then the other, our part time would just be hourly rate, which, like I said, I calculated in with that paper I gave you last time.
You don't think any of the $1,800 should be, we can get that back with the ambulance billing?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because we're, you know, I'm planning on increasing our run volume 3, 4, 5-fold right off the bat, and then it's unknown after that.
Right.
So it's as we were talking about, it's just a crapshoot, because
yes,
we give them 3,000, they get trained. Well, suddenly they're in Richmond and make $3,000 more a year.
Right.
But you haven't had that happen much, have you?
No, not much at all. We lost one a couple months ago, or first of the year, but he was planning on a lateral move anyway. So, yeah, I mean, with the three that we have, you know, you can't, nothing's guaranteed, but hopefully we don't have that. And historically, we haven't had the turnover, so... that's why I'd like to pay them and train them to keep them.
Well, I'd entertain a motion to
first reading
of salary ordinance 2016-3.
I'll make that motion.
Second. It's been motioned and seconded, but we'll read 2016-3 by title only, first reading.
Ordinance 2016-3, an ordinance to amend ordinance 2016-1, fixing salaries of appointed officers and employees of the City of Winchester, Randolph County, Indiana, providing additional compensation to certain elected and appointed officers of the City of Winchester, Randolph County, Indiana, for a year beginning January 1, 2016.
All those in favor of accepting?
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Okay, first reading is complete.
We just have the second third.
Yeah. Hopefully everybody's here next meeting, and we'll do the second and third reading then. The next item is I'd like to ask you to allow me to sign the contract with Umbaugh to do a comprehensive financial analysis study, in which I'm hopeful that by the next city council meeting, they will be here to present to us, as well as the Redevelopment Commission, what the findings are. So I would entertain a motion to...
What's it cost?
Yeah. Well, it's by rate. There's no set fee for a comprehensive financial plan.
So what's the rate? What's the rate?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
More than a money
cap. It's not actually.
They estimated maybe $9,000 to $15,000. It is a comprehensive plan. If that's okay, Sean.
Oh yeah, thank you, Vicki.
Sure. And it will be if I understand right, a 3 to 5 year plan, which is something when we go to budget and things. I think it'll be very useful to all of us. I think we'll all refer. When I'm long gone, I think they'll refer to this comprehensive study.
The county's was $25,000.
Yeah. So
it all depends on how many funds they're going to look at.
Right.
So do you want me to email you a copy of the counties? Because I've probably got it.
How much was it? $25,000?
I think so. Yeah. And I could probably email it to Vicki and then she could board it.
So the advantage to this is we're going to find out where money has been spent in the past, where we can spend it in the future, right. And what...
I don't know how much in the past they look. They look more in the future.
They look back 5 years, I know.
Yeah, it's a lot of the future, next 3 years.
It may give you an idea where you can take funds where you've never been taking them, where you've never taken them before.
They did a really good job with the county. I thought they did a really good job with the county.
None of those words.
Did they do a pretty good job with the county? You like it?
Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you, if I took that sales pitch to my husband and said, he said, what's it going to cost? I don't know. He wouldn't buy it, but I'm going to go for this.
Well, I just told you this. The estimate cost that Jason Semler from Umbaugh, he sat in the mayor's office and told us it was between $9,000 to $15,000, and it is just like, excuse me, Councilman McCoy said, it depends on how many funds they're going to look at. And we are definitely having the TIFs, of course, everything there.
And the windmill?
And, yep.
And the general fund.
And the general fund.
And all the funds.
Any funds that we use for the TIFs.
I'm not going to make up a number.
So how long does it stay?
I don't either.
It's been going on since probably first of January. I've already engaged. I just need I don't like signing contracts without you knowing it.
In other words, if we don't approve it, you get a pay out of your pocket.
No, that's not true. You don't know what the financial plan they came up with.
Wasn't it started? Was that any 5,000, Brad?
Exactly.
Let's help Sean out here. He needs to go on with something.
To lessen the effect, when Sean signed the original agreement with Augusta Consulting through the Board of Works approved, it was $5,000 budgeted in Augusta Consulting budget. So $5,000 of what the number that Vicki has told you will be covered already from Augusta Consulting. Yes, so it's not going to be.
I make a motion we approve the comprehensive financial analysis contract with Umball.
Any further discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye. All opposed, same sign. Thank you. Next up is Johnson and Holloway broadband study. You should have with you the document titled A Plan for Broadband Expansion in the City of Winchester.
Thank you. So I've been working with Sean over the past couple months on a plan, researching, and came up with four main areas where I think the city benefit from. The first one is health services, not only improving the connections to the current doctor's offices, but improving services for residents will allow residents who maybe can't make the trip to Indianapolis or other cities for various reasons to be able to communicate through telemedicine with their doctors. It's been shown time and time again when you improve access to broadband that economic development increases. Businesses, one of the first things they look at when they look at an area is the infrastructure and how the communications will be. Agriculture will also benefit, allowing farmers to communicate, to see what the markets are doing, what their prices, the trends are going to be. And the farm equipment, a lot of times, is connected now too, so they can, instead of having to take a vehicle off the farm and running it to wherever the manufacturer's at, the manufacturer's able to diagnose problems from where they're at. So you'll see in, I believe it's page 14 or 15, I came up with a few recommendations and next steps. The first is to apply through the Indiana Economic Development Council to become a broadband-ready community. That shows the vendors that you work with that the community is serious about. I believe it's on.
Recommendations, please follow.
Oh, okay.
So to do that, you have to pass an ordinance. And did you happen to print off the fact sheet too, or not? I can send that to you if you didn't. Okay. The fact sheet from the IEDC goes through the process on doing that. The next, after you get that certification, would be start talking to vendors and looking at, you have to do a study to see where the need is in the community and get a proposal from a vendor and start working with them. There are grants and low interest loans through the federal government that you can apply for to fund this. The vendors, in some instances as well, will self-fund the project, and that would be the best avenue to take, but that doesn't always happen. Do you have any questions?
Yeah, I got a million. I don't know what the questions are. But, so, I understand broadband. I mean, I'm not no dummy on that. But, I guess my question is, if it's going to, and I'm all for it. I mean, as an example, in Hagerstown, if you're within so much of the city limits, you get free internet Wi-Fi. I mean, there's areas you get free internet Wi-Fi. Are you aware of that? If I'm standing in downtown Hagerstown, I'm going to be able to hit Hagerstown's free Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, with that broadband.
So, but in all reality, it's not free because your city's paying for it, correct, is what you're saying? You're using their threat. Okay.
Yeah. So I guess I'm asking is, I understand farmers and I understand the medical profession, but I guess I'm wondering why they don't pay this. I mean.
Well, you're talking about a couple million-dollar project, and they're not going to pay to run the infrastructure to expand it.
So who's going to pay that couple of million for the infrastructure?
The vendors.
Who do you suggest as vendors? I mean, I heard a proposal on this. I mean, the city council heard a proposal on this last summer.
You'll see in there, there's several different case studies. MS Fiber, I've worked with pretty closely while I was in grad school, and they completed a project in Jay County just recently where they funded their project. TDS Telecom has also done a similar project. They're down south.
The proposal you heard last summer, though, is mostly for business. Not really interested in going out into the city, into the residents.
Yeah.
This is lighting up residents who want it and giving them the option.
And right now, what are most people using?
Comcast copper line.
Well, they are coax. The difference is this is fiber. So Indiana Fiber Network has run a cabinet out by the hospital capable of gigabit speeds. So the vendor would come in and lay fiber. You really want to move to fiber. That's the... Mm-hmm.
So the county's fiber goes from the hospital to downtown.
And then out to Mars end too, I believe.
Yes. And so the county had an offer to sell their dark fiber to this phone company.
New Lisbon, I believe.
So is that something that Sean needs to go, or somebody needs to go talk to the county before they sign that deal?
No, I've actually talked to John Green from New Lisbon, and his project's separate from anything the city would do.
So the city would not be able to use that dark fiber?
Yes, if they wanted to. But it would be, if New Lisbon wants to offer a proposal, they're more than welcome to do so.
Well, I'm telling you, the county commissioners approved to go ahead with the contract.
And I've talked to John, and the way that I understand that, that'll be business. And what Sean wants to focus on is expansion for residents.
But I didn't know if that dark fiber could be utilized.
It's yes. The simple answer is yes. But I'm not sure that he'll run it, that he's looking at running in the city right now from the conversations that I've had with him.
Yeah, and he's just another vendor who can decide whether or not he wants to run it to residents or business.
His business model is business. His plan for the next 3 years, from what he's told me, is all business connections. He's not interested in the residential connections at this point. And maybe that's about it, I don't know, but that's the conversation I had with him about a month ago.
So this is just an FYI. I guess next meeting we can have an ordinance prepared, which we almost did have one prepared, but that we can need to be broadband ready community.
Yeah, I'd say that. You're right.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I don't understand.
Yeah. But, thank you, Pat.
All right, thank you.
Mrs. You'll have to be our leader on that.
Yeah.
You can't, because I can't.
Not here, but I mean, if I'm out there, I can.
Okay. Mike?
Yep.
Nate, I'm staying over beside
you. My back hurts. I have
to. Well, I tell you, I don't want to turn my back on anybody. Well, it's been an evening. I've learned some things already. This is just kind of an update on what Augusta Consulting has been doing the past 4, 5, 6 weeks. And this is kind of an overview, and obviously if there's any questions, I'll be glad to try to fill in the spots. Within the previous 30 days, on behalf of Mayor Byram and City of Winchester, Augusta Consulting has had direct conversations with an excess of 30 businesses here all within the city. And those also that may be included and located in the various TIF districts here. This will include, we have spoke with, had a meeting with Kula Construction, McCollum, who's got two locations here, one in the city and one in the school district, TIF district. I don't recall the name.
Driver.
Yes. We spoke with Carol Bauma. She's a representative over at Mary June. She's working with J.D. Norman Industries. I'm sorry, I said Mary June. I meant Hinman Engineering. She's working with J.D. Norman Industries. We have reached out to them. They are actually a worldwide, and he travels abroad quite a lot. And when he is here next, he is planning on stopping in and having a conversation with us and the mayor. We've also contacted representatives from Total Automotive, who is acquiring Mary June. And we spoke with representatives from Ardall as well. You both know better than I, those are all major employers in the area, and we need to do everything we can to cultivate and assist them coming in and remaining here once they get here. Mayor Byram and we have also met with several business owners on the square, for instance, recently, and are in the process of compiling a list of suggestions for improvements or things such as that. We've had conversation with the principal of our high school as well as Dr. Andy Bowen. He's the chancellor of Ivy Tech. This is regarding additional vocational educational opportunities to the schools. And what this is directly is relevant to developing the workforce on behalf of the area businesses and give opportunities for students who may not want to pursue a college curriculum and want to transition into work within our own community here. Augusta is currently assisting with the identification and acquisition of blighted properties as Mr. Bookout and the mayor had indicated. I did have the opportunity to go to the county building and they did the research over there, and it kind of surprised us that there was only two properties that were ready to go. So hopefully we'll have more to work with soon. Augusta Consulting and the mayor have also contacted several business owners. And frankly, in talking with a lot of these folks, there has been, I got to tell you, a big concern on the forward motion of the facade restorations. That's been a very big topic of discussion, and it's been brought to me anyway. I know Rich is here, and maybe Rich, you'd like to speak to that, here.
Yeah, I bought the Dunn Center and the Gurdon Building and all six of those properties on the corner. When I filed for the initial grant for the facade rebatement program, I met with Joe Frost, and then he turned it over to another guy, and Mr. Flowers was the last rep. During my restoration of the bottom of the building for the facade, they would come over and tell me what they wanted done, how they liked it done, and we would do this and do that. They don't like this, so we changed it and did that. When I got it all done, they said, "We can't pay you. You started it before we okayed it." So I'm kind of real fed up with the facade grant program. There was $250,000 spent in there for a roof and foundation and stuff. I spent $80,000 in repairing the front and stuff, and I was asking for $8,000. And they turned it down and said, "Oh, they started work." "Well, you know you started work. You're the one told me how to do it and what to do and overseeing the program." So I said, "Well, how do I do appeal this?" They said, "Don't know." They never got back.
Wow. Well, and that's quite a lot of the comments that I've heard. And I'm not trying to beat up on anybody, as I understand this is a Randolph County Economic Development type generated activity. But what Augusta might be able to do is we will become involved and we'll advocate on your behalf and those of the area business owners in trying to work with them and expedite and get that flow of information back and forth
where it needs to be instead of where it's at currently.
When Joe Frost was running it, it was no problem. We went right through. We did the one side of the street, got all done, starting it. It's when the other people took over from him. This one's. I got paperwork for them where they made all the notes on my stuff, what they wanted to change and how to do it, how they wanted it done. And then they don't want to pay for it.
Well, it's an issue. That is a big issue from everything I'm.
I asked him how to appeal it. They don't know. They have any idea. He said to get back with me. That's been a month and a half ago.
We will work to find that out.
Appreciate it.
If I can jump in, I'm circulating a letter from Ken Madler, audiologist Madler? As well as other business owners around the square. Fred Priest was just here. I've heard some other things from other citizens and business owners about the inaccessibility for disabled citizens. And, you know, we probably wouldn't have found this out in the first week of March had Mike not pounded the pavement multiple days, particularly in the month of February. And it's something very simple we can do, just to, hear and listen and act on the people who choose to invest in our community and, help them stay and help them grow. So I'm very pleased that citizens are coming into our council meetings. They feel open enough to speak to us about things that they need. And I'm hopeful that this board and this council is proactive in working with them. So in the immediate future, I think we're gonna look at cutting into some curbs to make handicap accessible ramps to our downtown shops. The courthouse square, the inside by the courthouse, the handicap parking lots are way over by Washington Street. Now, they need to come closer. It's just small things that we're finding just by going out and talking to people. And that's what I appreciate most, I think, about Mike, is his ability just to take the time and sit down and talk with individuals.
There was one other thing we talked about with the mayor and I about the drug rehab place here in the city. The old Girton building, that used to be the old International Order of Oddfellows, it's totally empty upstairs now. It's been gutted, it's clean, and we had talked about maybe turning it into a drug rehab center sponsored by the city and leased out to the city. There's outside access with double wide stairs going up to it. It would make a very nice thing for that, and it's probably local and probably the largest space around. Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that, and that's frankly what we're all set about to do, is communicate and help each other. To what the mayor alluded to, from the audiology, I had a flat tire the other last Friday when I was over visiting Mr. Jarrett, and I stopped into Everton, had lunch. First time been there, not the last time, I can tell you that. But nevertheless, The lady came over, we sat down and talked probably half an hour, and she said, I said, is there anything that the city, anything on your mind that the city might be able to help you with? Oh, yeah. So we have a lot of elderly folks come to eat dinner, and we're in the middle of the block, and we miss a lot of folks and who don't maybe come and visit because of it's not quite as accessible as what it could be. So I think the curb cut and the handicap accessible, of course, it's got to meet standards, and then a handicap spot adjacent to that where they can get in and out of the vehicle. It'll make a lot of folks happy, and not only the business owners, but everybody who services those businesses. As well, Augusta Consulting has went with Mayor Byram, and we have visited all the financial institutions locally, from First Merchants, Old National, Crossroads Financial, Mutual Bank, the AEH, Plant 3 Credit Union. The mayor has met with all of the utilities
Ohio Valley Gas Company, AEP Electric, Comcast Cable, and Augusta Consulting. I've worked, Brad and I, and Brad and the mayor, and myself and the mayor, we've all been down to, I'm getting to know James pretty well down here, and his dad, Bubba. I'm a toolmaker to trade, so that type of business interests me to go through those factories. But again, we're wanting them to grow. They're wanting to grow. They're wanting to hire more employees because they got a lot of work to do. If we can assist them in getting that done, that benefits not only them, but it benefits all of us. Grows the community, provides jobs for some folks, and at good wages, good benefits. So that's all important. So we're in the process now of assisting them in completing the paperwork necessary to apply for abatements for a new machinery. And it will be a positive both for the city and for Mr. Garrett and Omega. So that will work very well. And then the intent and the plans are to continue buying pieces of equipment to ramp up production and hire additional employees. Clear to the point, I'm going to be going, I'm not sure if we're going to go tonight, but maybe, down to his other property where he's wanting to expand, and it's within a TIF district. So there's a lot of potential to help even build a new facility. So also the city, the small things. We like the big things. We like to make those big wins, but you get a whole bunch of small wins, it'll make a lot of people happy in our community. There's some signage issues down by him. He contacted the mayor took care of him, like that. There is, if you guys are familiar with his docking area, the semis, you know, have gotten longer, and for them to make the swing around the curb and back into the facility is very, very difficult. And the tractor is getting up into the muddy area and potentially getting stuck there. It's a big mess. It is a big mess. I had the opportunity to go down to speak with Meeks. We researched. There is city-owned property that the mayor is looking to assist. I know we have a survey planned right now to make sure it's city property. We know it is, but we're going to make double sure. And then we'll make some repairs there, to where it's going to make it so much simpler for him to get product in and out of that facility. Again, it's not a major earth-shaking thing, but it's something that needs to be done. It's going to help him quite a lot. Also, we're going to be assisting the city, seeking funding to complete a comprehensive plan for the city of Winchester. And this document, when it's done, it'll provide the city with a long-range plan that outlines the desired land use. It will neighborhood, the economic development activities, community character strategies for growth, development, and redevelopment for the city of Winchester. This document is a blueprint. And in a nutshell, what it does is provide a clear vision for a few years out of what everybody here wants Winchester to look like. So it is a very important document. I'm going to guess that document probably runs between maybe 30 or 40,000, but I think there may be some grants out there available. In addition to some of the larger industries in town, we'll be, you know, requesting some assistance from them to help fund that. But it helps them in the process of helping the city as well.
If I can jump in, this sure. morning at the commissioner's meeting, the county heard a proposal to do a countywide comprehensive plan Of course, it has to go through many more steps. And that first step is a smaller committee comprised of Commissioner Wickersham, Mayor Brian Conklin, myself, and Bruce Hosier to sit down and choose a firm, kind of a first strategy. But I'm working with the county, fostering relationships with the county to not only really represent Winchester and get what Winchester deserves. I mean, we're a fifth of Randolph County here. Also think about 10, 20 years down the road rather than just tomorrow and next week. So, Mike, sorry to cut you off.
No, no, not at all. And let me make it clear to everybody here, and I wish there was a lot more people here to hear this. Augusta Consulting, the mayor's economic development efforts for the city of Winchester is absolutely not in competition with the Randolph County Economic Development. In fact, anything that we can do to help them, we're here to do it. So I just wanted to clear that up for sure. Hey, in closing, and Brad spoke a little bit to the body cams, something that his boss is helping write the grants,
correct?
That's my daughter, by the way. And he has retained a lady to provide to the city a comprehensive overview of the park and a plan for improvements there. I know he's had a lot of conversation with the mayor regarding the fixes to the pool and the liner, et cetera. So in the past 30 days, we have, honestly, we've been very busy. I enjoy going out and talking to these folks. I've had a lot of our conversations with a whole lot of folks in the area. And they've been, I can tell you this, they are very, very excited. They're very interested. They're very happy that the city is reaching out to them and saying, what can we do for you? How can we assist you? So it's been well received out into the community. And so I anticipate good things coming from those efforts. So, Mayor, I appreciate the time and folks, I appreciate your...
I have a question for you.
Sure.
So what do you do as far as helping people, businesses financially, that Randolph County, that you said you weren't in competition with them? It looks like you're doing the same thing.
Well, there, I don't know how many abatements they've provided. I don't know how many, I don't know what they've done in the area of TIF.
They have.
Honestly, they're protective, and I understand. But in talking to Rich, in talking to James, some of those folks, all I can tell you is they're very happy that we've reached out.
I agree with that, but I just don't understand why we have a Randolph County Economic Development and you're doing the same thing.
Well,
so are we paying the other guy?
I had a mayor come in. His name is Ryan Daniels from Columbia City. Come in to check in on me. And former mayor of Goshen, Alan, can't remember his last name. I asked him, I said, have you ever heard of doing this? You know, we've got a county economic development corporation. Have you ever heard of having just a city? He said, oh yeah, many, many cities are doing this.
So they have two of them, right?
And the theory is, the county's large. It has Union City, Parker City, Farmland, Lynn, Saratoga, Ridgeville. There's one economic development director for the entire county. I'm really looking out for Winchester. I want business owners to feel like they've got somebody they can call and respond right away. When I had a question, it took a while to get through for the other guy. Not to turn around the bus, but I called Mike at 10 o'clock at night. He answered his phone.
And I can tell you in all honesty, most cities, if they don't already have their own brand
That's where it is heading. So, and I think we'll be able to stand here 6 months or a year from now and have everybody in the room say, we're glad the mayor made that decision. And I think that's...
I wasn't quite, I just wanted to understand that it overlap each other, but actually then he just gives you quicker access.
Well, and we work together. There's nothing wrong with sitting down, and we have to sit down and talk about it. What are you doing? What are we doing? How can we get through this together?
With Bruce.
Well, I have. Yeah, I've sat down and talked to him about this.
Mike finds problems with the other guy never even heard of.
I'm sorry?
Mike finds problems that the other man never even heard of and wouldn't know if it wasn't for him doing this here. Mm-hmm.
I just was encouraged.
Can I say something?
Yes, please.
Augusta Consulting does this work in multiple communities for different elected officials. The reception among the business community is always overwhelmingly positive and builds camaraderie among the business community to have faith and confidence in the community so that you want them to stay here, grow their businesses here, and be proud of their community. This does that. It gives them a liaison who these guys can call at 10 o'clock at night if they need to talk about a problem or a handicap ramp or a truck problem. Oftentimes when we reach out to companies, we made, in 2015, we made 154 calls to companies in different communities. Usually when we call a community, we say, we're reaching out on behalf of the mayor's office, and we want to thank you for being in the community and calling this community home. Second, we want to know, is there anything we can do to help you? Is there anything you're doing to expand, to grow? Is there something that's holding you back from adding employees, from adding square footage to your business? And that gets a conversation started that is unlike any other. And oftentimes the conversation ends with, boy, I'm sure glad you called. Nobody's called me in 20 years. I can't believe somebody from the mayor's office reached out to us. So that camaraderie and that goodwill from the elected officials goes, it pays dividends far and beyond what you can imagine in your community. And so many times economic development officials are trying to seek outsiders to come in and land a 500 job facility. And Bruce does a lot of that work and is working on those things and is doing that thing and seeing, visiting site selectors in other communities. He may not have time for a personal conversation, and maybe go back two or three times. Mike's filling that void. So I think as time goes by, what I see elected officials seeing is more business owners coming to meetings like this saying, hey, yeah, I'm working on this problem because your guy came out and talked to me. Thank you for getting that handicap ramp put in that parking spot. So I'll get off my soapbox.
Well, if there's no more questions, I'll sit down. Okay.
Thank you, Mike. Sure. Clerk Treasurer's report.
The annual financial report has been filed with the State Board of Accounts. The debt management report has been filed as well. I am working on a report that's due for the TIF districts by the April the 15th, and that will be completed on time. The publication, the annual publication, was in the newspaper. In your packets, you'll be receiving what was reported on Gateway, which is available online for any of us to go and to view if you'd like to do that. I did see today that the tax rate for the 2016 taxes, 2015 payable, 2016 was in the paper, and the city's rate is $3.55, which is a decrease from last year due to probably assessed valuation increasing. And Mayor Byram made a comment that perhaps Umbaugh will be ready with their report. I would prefer, I'm not going to be at the meeting on March the 21st. I would prefer that we delayed that if that would be the case, because I'd like to be at that when we have that report as well. So, okay. Any questions about anything? Thank you.
Mayor's report. I will continue to sit at my desk and drink coffee and read the newspaper. No. I'm just kidding. No, it's busy. I'm usually have most of my hours accounted for. Thursday night is the Redevelopment Commission meeting, 5:30. Start time on that. The week next, Thursday, will be the Park Board meeting. Many meetings, like I said, I'm really trying to foster a relationship between the city and the county, and see which direction we can work together. A big term that's going on right now is regionalism, and how we can branch out and work with other counties, because the idea of regionalism, as was said today, was that our workforce chooses a location based on quality of place and will drive 50 miles to work. And I used to be one of those people. I chose to stay in Winchester, but I would work outside of Winchester. So this idea of regionalism and fostering that relationship with other counties around us is very important, because if we can't get them to live here, we want to try to get them to work here. So that's my mayor's report. I'll entertain a motion to... Oh, wait.
We're going to give the ambulance fee ordinance.
Yeah. Did we not do that?
Yeah.
First reading?
They haven't done any effort. I didn't know if you guys were planning on that this time or the next time.
You want to do the first reading?
It's the ambulance.
You have this? Mm-hmm. Can we do it with the council?
With five?
Yeah,
it's five.
It's three. Just so long, 3-0. It's the ambulance. This is what Gary gave it to me.
Okay. I thought we did that.
Oh, you did not.
No, we did.
I'm keeping you honest here.
Thank
you.
We didn't have
you did not give the press.
The stop sign and the salary working.
You can do it at the next meeting.
Yeah, I didn't. Don't do it at the next meeting.
Yeah.
Because we can't do three readings tonight.
Can't do three readings. You can have it. That's
I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
And motion and second to adjourn. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Here's a stack of cards. If I want a card, give me a call.
We can talk about this. Call me. I mean, the drive. It's a private drive. They want to make it a public drive.
Yeah.
I think they want to take the details. It's a mean drive.
Okay.